Amen. Amen. As we continue, we've been talking. We're going to try to summarize, but may not even get to that because of time. All these topics we've been talking about, they're on the website for you to go back and listen to and really help build what God wants to build in your life. Now, let me say, you know, our vision that we believe God has called us to is to equip, empower people to win in life. Okay. Now, this is why that part, equip, is quite critical. You know, we empower people through the teaching of God's word, through prayer. And we do that a lot throughout the year. But every time throughout the year, we focus on the equipping part. Having been a Christian for a while, I noticed even before, you know, we started pastoring, I noticed that it's easy to be a Christian but be losing in every other area of your life except your spirit. And I used to think to myself, if that actually was all that God intended for us. But when you read the Bible in 1 John 5:23, it says, may your whole spirit, soul, and body. So God is into your triune, spirit, soul, and body. He's not just about your spirit. He saved your spirit, which is the most important thing, going to heaven. But also he's more interested in your soul, that is your mind, your will, emotion, and in your body, your physical health. That also matters to God. That's why it says, may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. So we wanted to be a church that did not only focus on your spirit, so that we only got you to heaven, but got you to heaven miserable, depressed, broke, poor, you know, all that. We want you to get heaven in the best way you can, because if God cares about your soul, we want, in the word, there's all those resources. That's why God talks about it in the word, right? It's all in the word. And we want to be a church that takes some time out and say, okay, let's talk about some things that really affect us, that matter in life. That's why we've talked about finances. You know, how many know that finances can be one of the major causes of stress in life, right? And you can go to church and worship and pray, but then you go back and you're stressed because of finances. So we wanted to make sure that if somebody wanted to win financially, that your church had the resources to help you win financially. So it's one thing for us to bring the resources to you. It's another thing for you to want to win. Got it? So I understand that just because we've talked about finances for so long doesn't mean that everybody's winning, because you got to get to a point of pain where you say, enough is enough. I want to win financially, so I'm not just going to hear what the top might do it. How many know we've talked about health for so long? Amen. And I understand just because we've talked about health doesn't mean that we have the most healthiest church in the world. Because you got to get to a point where you are sick of where you are, and you're like, you know what? I'm so hungry for health that I'm going to do what it takes to. But I wanted to make sure that we, as the church, made those resources available. So when you get to a point of pain, where, because they say you can't make change unless you get the threshold of pain, when the pain of staying where you are exceeds the pain of change. That's when change happens. It's like when you go to the doctor and he says you got this unless you do this, and then you're like, oh, I need to change, you know. But we wanted to make sure that you are going to a church that had those resources, so when you need it, when you want it, you could say, okay, where are the resources? Does that make sense? So that's why we talk about finances for a whole month, and we talk about health for a month, and we bring in speakers, and we do all that because I believe that it's good to be spiritually, but also be financially literate. Because a lot of church folk don't understand money, how money works. And we fall victim because the world is after making us financially corrupt. So if we don't understand their game, we fall victim of that. And we can blame God, but it's easy to blame God. And God says, you just need to be smart about your money. But I don't know how to be smart about money. So that's why we've talked about money for so long. Make sense? This week, this past month, we've been talking about relationships because it's part of life. You can be a Christian and have messed up relationships. And sometimes we don't know how to walk and talk and deal with relationships because nobody ever taught us how to communicate, how to express ourselves, and how to do things. So that's why we say, okay, we want to equip you so that you don't have to go through another broken relationship, because there's enough broken relationships in the world. People in the world are all about breaking and hurting other people. But we want us to be agents of change, where when God blesses those relationships, we can maintain them. We can have the equipment, the tools. So these things is just like putting another tool in your toolbox. Someone did that for me and Sonia. Amen. And that's why we've been able to have a great relationship. And we don't have a great relationship simply because we're so super spiritual, but we've had that because we acquire tools. We acquire tools. I can't remember, you know, at least for the last 5-7 years where we yelled at each other and called each other names. It's never happened in the last. Well, it wasn't always like that, but we got tools, and there's a lot of peace in our home. I have to testify, ever since Daniel has been born, Daniel has never seen me and her bickering or yelling or shouting at him. Amen. He's never seen it. Because we took the tools and we applied them in our lives. Amen. And the tools have worked. And it makes my spiritual life a lot better. Because, yeah, how many know it's hard to pray when you're at odds with people? Like when you're so angry at them, you know? You just almost wanted to cuss them out. It's so hard to just go, oh, Jesus. You know, it's just hard. That transition is hard. You know what I mean? But when it's peaceful, it's easy to say, oh, Jesus. You know what I'm saying? So all these things intertwine. They work together. And so we don't want to be a church that ignores those parts. Vital aspects of our lives. Amen. So this is why it's important to us in this church to make sure we are equipping. We're giving you the tools that make you live a successful life outside the walls of this church. And as we believably say that the quality of your life is not determined by the amount of money you make, but it's determined by the quality of the relationships in your life. All right? So this is why we're doing this, okay? And so I'm going to have Sonia now come, and she's got some things. She wants to help us and do a little practical sessions here and move forward with that.
You need to express yourself, your needs, your wants. You need to do that. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
That was the whole premise of our little skit. John and Sonia was thinking things. But she was not going to say them, right? So what we recommend is that you still express yourself, because remember, if you don't
talk it out,
you will
anger it out.
Yeah. If you have stuff going on in your heart and you're not going to talk about them with somebody else, you're going to be resentful. It's going to build up. It's going to fester, and something is going to happen. That's why when we're in conversations. Can you please bring up that slide again, John? You need to speak for yourself. Caring for yourself. What does caring for your neighbor mean? In this case, because there's a scenario there that has a nephew. For the other person, what does that mean? Caring for the other person. Do you remember? No, Pastor John, do you remember?
Trying to put yourself in
the other person's shoes, because this is an issue that concerns both of you, right? And then the third one is caring for other stakeholders. Somebody tell me what a stakeholder is.
A person that is involved,
a child,
family.
Right. So if you're having an issue between the two of you, there's still other people that are affected. As parents, when we make decisions, our children are affected. There's always stakeholders. Always there's stakeholders. Then last week, we had a very interesting principle. What was that? Ariel?
What story?
What's that?
The one
When he lied about his sister, right? When his wife?
You don't know.
No, that fourth point, can you explain it?
Oh, it's saying, like, to speak on what really happened rather than your own personal interpretation.
Okay. So we can't speak, good job. We can't speak on our story. However, we need to distinguish what is fact and what is a story. That story you're telling yourself. Remember? We used the example of Samuel and John's story. There were facts, but then there were stories that Samuel was telling herself. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. So somebody read for me that scenario that we have right there. Tom Smith. Loud voice.
Okay. You have started to notice that your 17-year-old nephew who now lives with you doesn't pick up after himself. And he makes you think he will take care of it, but does not. He used to be very helpful doing his chores at home and keeping his room clean and organized the first few months he started living with you. For example, last weekend he was in bed all weekend, playing his video games and only getting up to get to the refrigerator. I think that's the example of what it's like.
Oh, yes.
For almost a month now, he hasn't taken out the trash or done his household chores. His clothes are strewn all over his bedroom floor, and his bedroom stinks from dirty dishes. You are frustrated.
Uh-huh. Okay. So that is the scenario. I have you in groups of threes because you're going to practice talking to your nephew using these principles.
Which one do y'all want first?
Okay. So one of you is going to be the nephew, one of you is going to be the adult, and one of you is going to be the coach, watching you to make sure that you're touching on all these things. Do you want to bring it back up again? Yeah, let's leave this screen on so people know that this is what. And remember, body language is important. Okay, so when you're talking to this person, you're not being combative or anything. So you need to choose who's going to be a nephew, who's going to be the adult, and who's going to be the coach. Are we ready? Yes. So we have, are you here? I think we've told our nephew what's in our heart, right? Is there any team? Is there any team that feels they really did well and want to demonstrate?
Oh, yes.
After you demonstrate, I think John will be the nephew and I'll be the adult, and we'll see how that plays out. But if you want to.
She was asking, is there a table that wants to volunteer and come and role play here and show us what you how it went down?
We could, but it's really simple.
Oh, yeah, let's see. And remember, all of us are coaches. We're going to poke holes in your communication
system. Don't worry about it.
We got to go up.
Yeah. We got to go up. Thank you for volunteering.
I don't know that we
Okay. John, can you get one more microphone, please?
Here.
All she's going to say is no.
Okay, see you, the adult.
Yeah.
Okay, nephew, get here.
No, you can be the nephew. We only need two right now.
Oh my gosh.
Okay.
Testing. Who are you testing?
Okay. Hey Jamie, can I talk to you?
Sure.
You know, it's a pleasure with you living here. I love your company. You know, having you around is actually pretty nice and stuff. But lately I've noticed that you've kind of gotten a little lazy and my house is dirty. And you kind of stink. Are you okay? Or is everything going on, you know?
Well, you know, I'm feeling okay. I'm just a little lazy.
Okay. Well, you know, that's understandable. So around here, we have to have better better practices on how you take care of the house. And since there's nothing going on with you, I would like for you to, you know, start trying to clean up and take care of yourself a little better.
Yes, ma'am. I'm working on it.
Cool. Thanks.
Good job.
Yeah.
So what did she do well? What did Ariel do well? Yes.
She was positive.
She was positive. Yes. Very good. What else did she do well?
She showed concern for the nephew. She asked nephew, how do you feel? I mean, what's going on?
Yeah. Very good.
Very good.
What else did she do well?
She toned her voice down. She didn't talk roughly or nothing.
Yes.
Tone of voice was good.
What could she improve upon?
Caring for stakeholders.
Oh, could she? Caring for stakeholders?
I didn't really get into her a little more.
What?
Oh.
What? Oh, is that what you're saying?
You don't grow up like that. Sometimes you gotta dig in them a little better than that.
Okay. What else? Huh? Okay, Yolanda is saying something.
Okay.
Okay, Yolanda, we're listening.
That was very good.
Uh-huh.
Maybe stating the boundaries and what you wanted specifically in that nice voice.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Being more specific.
Being more specific about what you want.
What I need your lazy tail to do. So next time around when we have this conversation. One conversation between grown folks, and then it's conversation two. You won't be surprised when you hit the door. So be distinct. Like, I would need for you to clean your room because I'm into roses and freshness, and when you cook your dishes, please wash them at that time and put them away to help the others around you not have to come in to work around. Just say what you want.
Let me be more clear about what she wants.
Okay.
All right. I also noticed this. Did you notice that?
Body language.
So just be aware of that. I think you did really good. Just be aware.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Body language. But she wasn't hostile, so
Yo, what I was going to say is, in the body language was she was acting it out, like you said, because she wasn't saying it. She didn't ever really care for herself by saying, look, this is really difficult for me, or I'm really upset, and not throwing that on her and throwing bad names at her, but just saying, hey, I'm in this too.
Yeah.
And I'm frustrated, and I need to talk to you about something so that it doesn't happen again, just like you were saying.
Okay. So maybe a little more emphasis on caring for yourself and what your expectations are. You didn't care for your nephew, you asked, is everything okay? I really like that piece.
Yeah,
caring for stakeholders, maybe like the one that was saying, if there's any other people in the house, if somebody comes, you want the house to be clean and presentable. So, and I think you touched on that, though. And then, so this is the part that may help you also express yourself and your frustration, but you package it, like, John, I have noticed that dishes are not washed and that your room is, and the story I'm telling myself or what I am thinking is, what it makes me think is you don't care anymore, that being here is, maybe not something that you respect, or, you package that around what you are telling yourself. And maybe that will bring it in, the frustration. And I'm frustrated. It makes me frustrated coming home from work and I have to clean up after two adults.
Right.
That really is frustrating. I'm tired. I've had a full-time job and I come home and this is, So that would be another area for you to distinguish that from the story that you are telling yourself.
Question for you, Stan.
Yes.
If we do get in touch with our emotions, sometimes they're loose. Ask you, can that be where we go wrong in getting so wrapped up in the story because we feel these feelings as opposed to, this is what's really going on?
Mm-hmm.
Being able to balance that out.
Yes. You're right. And the example we've used here, we haven't had the nephew come back to tell us,
sure.
Right?
Because when the nephew comes back to tell us what's going on, and then we get to respond, that gives us an opportunity to test the story on each side.
So big question about that, because if the nephew has a story, are we going to excuse them? Are we going to work with them?
Work with them, yes. So work with them. And that's the next part that we're going to talk about. So I won't preempt it. But yes, it's important to get in touch with your emotion and with a story you're telling yourself and to express it. And so this is a story I'm telling myself that you don't want to be here. Is this right? Am I getting this right? Then they come back to you and say, no, I really appreciate being here. It's just that ever since my mom died, maybe the nephew moved in with me because their mom died. This month is really difficult for me, and at school, this and this happened. So I don't want to preempt that next conversation, but that's one for. Are you ready to do this? Okay. So, thank you, everyone, for all your good work.